morning, Cascadia. Today is Wednesday, January 28th, 2015, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Today's guest, Jody McCaffrey, is back with some big news. We invited her to join us today because there have been, count them, four major pipeline leaks and or explosions in just this month. We're a month into 2015 and already stuff is blowing up all across the country, as well as the fact that a notable public radio station right here in Cascadia has been doing an in-depth piece on the issues of seismic activity here in Oregon and Washington, and the folly of siting some of these terminals in areas which are almost guaranteed to see some, if not major, activity in the very near future. Not as much of the facts, we don't need them anyway, but there is that. Also, Just Foreign Policy has a very, very important petition up on that website, and Robert Naiman is joining us to talk a little bit about why it's time to start tapping away at the old keyboard and making phone calls, because this is a big one. This is John Boehner and Netanyahu getting a little bit too cozy and playing fast and loose with American law. First, we've got a couple of headlines before we speak with Jody. As again, I do want to emphasize that apart from President Obama's State of the Union address, there is perhaps a more important one. It's strange to me that Obama is traipsing around the world and visiting East India, where here in the West there are some pretty major issues involving indigenous peoples and their rights. Prosecutors on Tuesday promised a thorough investigation and asked angry protesters for patience after police shot and killed a 17-year-old girl. Authorities said that she hit a policeman when she was driving a stolen car. Fact is that the passenger in the car that she was driving said that she hit the police car because she'd been shot and lost control of her vehicle. It's a little hard to drive if you've been shot by a policeman. And speaking of which, Dan Handelman has issued some wonderful stuff. You can take a look at it on Copwatch. Copwatch reviewed the January 2015 Police Review Board report. And as with the last report, they appreciate the new details, including final disciplinary decisions. They're still troubled. And we should all be troubled by the absence of information that would serve the community better. There's also the redactions are pretty funny, too. It's amazing that Copwatch could make their way through the thicket of redacted language. The Washington Post just reported that the Koch brothers' network of right-wing funders plans to spend almost $1 billion in the run-up to the 2016 election. This, of course, underscores the desperate need to rein in money in politics and more pressure to roll back. We need way more pressure to roll back Citizens United. We're going to speak a lot more about that in upcoming programs. A former employee of a Fox News affiliate in, wait for it, yes, Texas, shot and killed himself outside the front doors of the News Corporation building. The building, of course, is both the Fox News headquarters and the Wall Street Journal. He'd been fired for so-called unprofessional behavior. And you can see it's actually all there on video. So another frustrated Fox employee bites the Texas dust. Another day, another pipeline bursts, this time West Virginia, an hour away from Pittsburgh and the Ohio River. A number of residents said they saw what appeared to be a large fireball burning in the sky. And in this is interesting. Out come the statistics. More than 6 in 10 Americans would want Congress to restore federal financial assistance for the millions of people who buy health care coverage under President Barack Obama's admittedly awful, dreadful, frightful health care law. It's awful, it's dreadful, it's frightful, but it's about all we've got right now. And 6 in 10 people want to hang on to what little we managed to wrest away from the moneyed powers that be. Meanwhile, back in Cascadia, the Clackamas County Sheriff's Office says that a 72-year-old Beaver Creek, Oregon man and his wife were found dead in a murder-suicide pact. They were both sick. Let me guess. They couldn't get medical attention. And we have more dreadful news out of occupied Palestine, too. And I can only say, take a look at International Middle East Media Center. It's all there. We want to turn now to Jody McCaffrey, joining us from Coos Bay. Thanks for being with us today, Jody.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, there are developments. There are reasons all over the place for immediately, no pun intended, terminating these efforts to build on a sand spit off the coast.
These terminals, both the terminals actually that are proposed in Oregon, have, you know, some serious problems. And recently we had two of the top hazard scientists out there on LNG hazard. One of these scientists actually developed the first modeling they did for determining the hazards for liquefied natural gas. They looked at the Jordan Cove proposal and determined that they actually had underestimated the hazards. And their analysis is not just about Jordan Cove, it's about a lot of these terminals. They are not, the regulatory agency just keeps changing the rules and allowing new modeling to come in that's actually undermining what the real hazard would be, and that's putting actually the public at risk. And we need to actually be sending lots of letters to Senator Wyden, Senator Merkley, demanding that they do the right thing here and make sure that these hazards are looked at, because there's accidents with pipelines and gas problems with these kinds of hazards every day out there.
Well, you've been fighting this fight mainly through the court system, and it seems that whenever there's some advancement is made, whenever anything happens, and the rules are changed, they can change. So corporate interests seem to be able to play fast and loose with the legal system, to the point where it seems that collusion between the private sector and public sector is pretty much calcified, and that we have no way of disconnecting the two. How can we fight that? Because that seems to be where if they just rearrange the laws to suit them, then that makes it even more problematic.
I think it's a serious problem. I mean, because they have the money to influence legislators who change the rules. And so what Jordan Cove has done, in our case, even locally, is they've gone in and changed the rules. And then their project magically fits the rules, where it never did before. And I don't think people understand that's how things are getting permitted. That is not the way the system should be operated.
They sign off on anything they want for our safety. Hmm? They sign off on anything they want, regardless of any public interests. And as far as safety is concerned, no. We've got 4 explosions of pipelines in 1 month. That's got to tell us something. Jody, we've got a second guest waiting on the line patiently, and I want you to just let people know how they can get more involved, because that's what we need, is more. Be up here. You think that you live in Portland and it's all just great, but I mean, I'm telling you, when it happens and our coast is gone, and right now fisheries are pretty much tapped out, there's serious talk that our fisheries are worldwide are dying. That's something to think about, maybe this is a local incident where people are staying to make a ton of money, but when the fisheries are gone, that collapses global markets. So what's the where do you suggest people go to get more information, to get involved?
Well, we have a website, citizensagainstlng.com. You can go there. I post stuff that's happening. Right now we're in the middle of the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission on February 13th. Comments are due on the draft environmental impact statement for Jordan Cove. That's very important that we get some good comments in there about what's wrong with the draft. And you can find that information out at the website.
You can find it. It's easy. It actually makes for some interesting reading in any case. And as anybody who's informed politically or cares at all about the environment, it's time to get on it. We've got 2 weeks, people, 2 weeks to get the comments in. Thanks for that, Jody. Jody, of course, with Citizens Against LNG down in Coos Bay, fighting the good fight almost singularly. And thank you again for being with us. We want to turn our attention now to an extraordinary thing that has happened. John Boehner, of course, took it upon himself to issue an invitation to a foreign head of state to address Congress. Robert Nayman with Just Foreign Policy joins us to deconstruct that pending fiasco. Good morning, Robert, and thank you so much for being with us. And we should have Robert there in just a moment.
Oh, sorry.
No, that's fine. Yeah. Hello, there you are. Yeah.
Yes.
Go ahead.
So, of course, it's not just he invited a foreign leader. He invited the Prime Minister of Israel without consulting the White House, without consulting the House Democratic leadership, an unprecedented breach of protocol. That's not how it's done. For the express purpose, openly, of attacking the president's Iran policy, 2 weeks before the Israeli election, each one of these three things by itself would be scandalous. The combination is a big snowball of scandal. This is so controversial. J Street, Americans for Peace Now, and even Michael Oren, the former Israeli ambassador to the United States, appointed by Netanyahu, have called for the talk to be canceled. The New York Times reports that this has become a mainstream controversy in Israel, with the Israeli opposition attacking Netanyahu for playing this political game. So this is really uncharted territory in terms of the opposition to this. Pelosi denounced it. Adam Schiff denounced it. Congressional Democrats are starting to speak out. Keith Ellison, Steve Cohen, and Maxine Waters are starting to circulate a letter signed by Barbara Lee and Jim McDermott calling on Boehner to postpone the invitation until after the Israeli election. And until after the House has considered the issue of Iran sanctions. So it's really going to be a fascinating question now to see which House Democrats signed this letter. And I would encourage your listeners to call your representatives and ask them if they've signed the Ellison letter asking that Netanyahu's speech be postponed. This is really a litmus test of whether congressional Democrats will speak up when the Prime Minister of Israel, does what he does to the President of the United States.
And you got a petition up on the Just Foreign Policy website. Before we let you go here, can you give us that website and directions for getting that signed?
Yes.
That's very
people
important.
People can find it on our website or at Move On. The title of the petition is Boycott Bibi's Bluster, saying that, that members of Congress, first of all, should call for the talk to be canceled or postponed. But if it isn't, then they should pledge not to go. I mean, the Obama administration has said their officials are not going to meet with Netanyahu if he comes so close to the Israeli election. Well, if the administration can say that, and Pelosi and Schiff have already denounced it, why can't congressional Democrats say that they're simply going to skip the talk?
Guess we'll find that one out, huh? That's going to be interesting the way that plays out in any case. My guest, of course, has been Robert Naiman with Just Foreign Policy. Check out that petition. This has been Air Cascadia for Wednesday, January 28th, 2015. Patsy Koberg engineered the show for us today. Thanks for that, Patsy. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOOAM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.